And we're on location right here at Contend 2014. We're here at the First Baptist Church, Colliersville, Tennessee, just outside of Memphis. And Brandon, I am excited about the people that you've gathered here. Students, high school and college age students from all across America. I talked the other day with a couple of students from down in Mission, Texas, right on the border with Mexico. I've talked with people from Ohio, from all over the country. We have had people come in, young people, and this is exciting to see how they have been so attentive to study the Word of God. Talk to me, Brandon, just a moment. How did you get the idea to do this? What really caused you to move into another avenue in your ministry of Worldview Weekend?
Well, we have had breakout sessions for our conferences for many years with these young people, but we'd never done a conference that was exclusively for young people. We saw an organization last year called Passion do something that packed out the Georgia Dome, something like 60,000 kids. And some of the teaching that was going on there was just absolutely, well, as one person attending our Contend conference who listened to those from last year said, it's night and day. It's the difference between soup and meat. Not to mention that some of the things they were teaching were just theologically wrong. And they had groups like Jesus Culture, which is not only a band but a movement that's encouraging words of knowledge and getting visits from angels and going to heaven and all these crazy things. And so we said, you know, we need to offer an alternative. Now, granted, we're not going for 60,000 students, because we're not bringing in the latest and greatest, quote, Christian rock band, which is what Passion largely does. We want to train leaders. So we knew by the very nature of the kind of conference we were going to hold, it would be smaller, and it would be a classroom setting, not a stadium setting with rock groups. And so they're all sitting at tables out there facing the speakers, taking notes. We've had more than we expected. We had to put up more tables. And we've got them, as you say, coming from around the border of Texas and Mexico. They've driven from Colorado Springs. They've come from Philadelphia. They've come from all over Minneapolis. I mean, it's amazing. And they're sitting there, speaker after speaker, 45 minutes a speaker with a 10, 15-minute break, and then another speaker behind that Thursday night, all day Friday, from 10 to 10, with breaks, and then break for lunch and dinner, and then half day till noon on Saturday. And so again, we're just thrilled to have several hundred of them here, but they're not here to be entertained. They're here to learn, to be engaged, to be equipped, to be leaders of the next generation.
Well, I know you've been doing this with adults for a long, long time, but if there's anybody that we need to be giving this information to, preparing their worldview for future events, it would be young people, because should the Lord tarry, they're going to be the next generation.
Well, absolutely. I mean, these are the pastors, the guys in there, these are the future pastors, the ladies, they're the future mothers. You know, the Bible says that the woman is saved in childbirth, not saved as in salvation, but being that it was Eve that was deceived into the fall, the woman has her place in history, or world history, if you will, or her reputation or her place or her status is saved or preserved because she can raise godly children and give them the gospel because they're around the children more than the men are, more than the father is. So when we think about future mothers raising future godly men and women, we got young men in there who'll be pastors. We have young people in there that will go into various vocations as doctors or nurses or lawyers, again, with a biblical worldview. We're pretty confident that whatever occupation they go into, God will be pleased in that as long as they're involved in fulfilling the Great Commission and evangelizing and discipleship and proclamation of the gospel. So that's a generation of who knows what will come out of that room.
Take a moment and give us a definition of a worldview for those who are eavesdropping on this conversation.
Well, everybody has a worldview. The question is, what is it? There are six major worldviews. There are more than six, but we have six major worldviews. Biblical Christianity. We would have cosmic humanism or New Age. We would have communism. We would have postmodernism. And we would have Islam. So six. Those are six. And postmodernism would be the idea that truth and reality are created by man, not by God. We're living pretty much in a postmodern generation. And last night I spoke to them on Friedrich Nietzsche and Michael Foucault, two of the founders of postmodern thought. In fact, the postmodernists are in the church today, known as like the emergent church and other things. They're into what's called deconstructionism. They're into deconstructing the Word of God. So they're into taking the Word of God and saying, well, it's not really the authoritative Word of God. It's not sufficient. It's not authoritative. It's probably got a lot of errors in it. And then they take Scripture and they take it out of context. So their whole goal is to deconstruct the Word of God. And that's part of postmodernism, is deconstructionism.
You know, I've always heard that teenagers were too frivolous. They had to have music. They had to be entertained. But we're edifying these young people, and this is key, is it not?
It is, and yet you see the kind of music we have for them. We have a young couple in their 20s, married, that are doing a lot of praise and worship music with them. I mean, they're picking music that the words are theologically and doctrinally sound. She's playing a keyboard, standing and playing a keyboard. He's playing an acoustical guitar. They're doing 10, 15 minutes of music with them throughout the day in different times. And if you notice, the kids are and the young people are quite engaged with this and singing out. I mean, it's not a matter of them sitting there. They're all singing out. You know, again, this was the whole idea was this to be a training time, something that is a praise and worship time. It was not to be about entertainment. And then we're seeing the speakers standing on the floor of the auditorium during the breaks, and the young people are engaging them in conversation. I mean, you and I had some incredible questions last night. One student asked us, you know, our prophets for today. And you got one student asking, well, what about different translations of the Bible? I mean, what were some of the other questions you got? I mean, they tell us how serious these kids are.
Well, that does indeed give us evidence. They really want to know how to go in life to the next generation.
They do. And sadly, so many things we're covering here are not being covered in the churches.
Why is that?
Well, because a lot of the youth leaders don't know this. We have some youth leaders in there. We've had youth leaders or youth workers that have come to some of our events before, and the high school kids are keeping up fine. The youth leaders are the ones that can't keep up. You know why? Because the kids, some of the young people, have listened to our radio show. They listen to me, they listen to you, they listen to Jesse Johnson, they listen to Ustama Dakdok, and they're keeping up with us. In fact, one college student from Minneapolis was saying, yeah, I've listened to all of your Religious Trojan Horse book, the audio book, on the treadmill. And so afterwards I said, were you able to keep up? He's like, yeah, I'm used to these terms. We define all the terms. So we're constantly saying, well, secular humanism, what does that mean? New age, what does that mean? Socialism, you know, we define the terms. The high school and college kids are keeping up. Sometimes it's the adults who are the youth leaders who have not been reading, not been listening to our programs, that are not able to keep up. The adults sometimes can't keep up. The high school and college kids can, particularly those that are reading books, that are listening to our radio shows, watching our TV shows. This is not new to them. Some of them have already been to some other worldview camps or conferences, and so they're doing just fine keeping up. But a lot of the youth workers around America don't know this. Sadly, the average pastor in America could not define secular humanism beyond the belief that man is God. They couldn't break it down. They couldn't define cosmic humanism. A lot of them don't even know what that term means. They couldn't accurately define postmodernism. They could not accurately define mysticism, Gnosticism. Yet these are all the philosophies that are vying for these kids' hearts and minds today. So churches today have taught, really entertained them about entertainment, about experience. Because really, quite frankly, what's driving church growth today largely is the size of your church youth group. So many churches today are catering to fun junkies, to kids, because if they have a big church youth group, then they have a big church. Because basically today, the church that a family attends is picked by the kids. If the kids want to go to that church, the parents will go with them and say, fine. And they let them pick because they want their kids in church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. They want their kids in church. So the church that has the largest, funnest church youth group is generally a very large church because that's their marketing. That's how they market their church. So they're catering to kids that want to have a good time. And I would rather see a smaller church youth group training young people because that's what they can go be entertained anywhere. I mean, they can go play video games and paintball and do whatever it is they want to do. But when they come to church, they ought to be being taught biblical discipleship. We ought to be discipling them. And a lot of them aren't doing this. And sadly, many of the pastors aren't even teaching this to the adults.
Well, the problem is that this has been the philosophy of youth pastors and these people working with you for so many, many years. It's hard to break that mold and get them back into studying the Word of God. So many different philosophies out there vying, you used that phrase a moment ago, vying for the control of their minds. So it is essential we continue to do this type of teaching, isn't it?
Well, it is, because as I started out last night talking to them about Colossians 2:8, don't be cheated by the philosophies of men according to men and not according to Christ. And that word philosophies, Paul is talking to the church in Colossians there, that philosophy is a love of wisdom, not godly wisdom, but a love of man-made wisdom. Kind of like Romans 1, professing to be wise, they become fools. And it is tied to the idea of higher knowledge, the love of knowledge, but it's higher knowledge, man-centered knowledge, not biblical wisdom, not biblical knowledge, man-centered. So you need to enter into some kind of esoteric state. through walking a labyrinth or yoga or transcendental meditation and gain this higher knowledge. Well, that's really what's going on at our universities today. They go there and they learn these philosophies like postmodernism. They learn the idea of situational ethics, and they learn secular humanism, and they learn cosmic humanism, and they learn the idea of mysticism, and they learn feminism. These philosophies, and there's so many more I could mention, these philosophies are what they're being taught in the universities. And yet, show me, other than maybe a handful of churches, where the church youth group and the pastors are saying, now let's see what the Bible has to say about feminism. As I explained to the young people today, or last night, feminism is really not about equal rights for women, not about women voting or anything. Feminism is anti-family, anti-father. To be a true feminist, you need to be a lesbian, according to the feminists. I have these quotes. It is about not needing any man. It's not about marriage. It's about Marxism. Marxism and feminism are highly tied. And yet, how many kids who go to school, to the universities, are going to get a heavy dose of feminism? And yet, is the church prepared to say, hey, wait a minute, there are biblical roles of men and women. What does the Bible say about communism or Marxism? What does the Bible say about homosexuality? What does the Bible say about feminism? I mean, what are the biblical roles of men and women? Church has all the answers to these. We just aren't giving them to the kids.
You know, this was your first effort of holding a conference especially focused on teenagers, on students, both in high school and college. It seems to be it's been pretty successful.
We're thankful. Praise the Lord. We can't take any credit for it. I was nervous about 4:30 yesterday, 4:15, thinking, yeah. Okay, we got all these people to register, but none of them paid. Yeah. So how do we know they're really going to show up? I mean, they have nothing invested, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what if only like 10 people show up? We have this huge auditorium set up, speakers flying in, a film crew. Not only did they fill up all the seats and tables we had put out, we had to bring out more. That's and even great. This morning, we're bringing out more. So praise the Lord. If you can get the first year off the ground, the second year should be easier because now we got testimonials. We got video footage. We've got all these kids that are going to go and bring others with them next year. So we're already working on Contend 2015.
There is going to be another one.
Oh, yes. And you know what? We've got everybody from speakers from their early 30s all the way to you, which is what we're trying to say is, where did we get the idea you can't have a conference for young people, high school students and college students, and not bring in someone with gray hair? I mean, that's what the Bible says, right?
Absolutely.
To have the elders teaching, those men, those Titus 1 men that have a track record, that have raised kids.
And build into lives so that they can carry on should the Lord tarry the rapture of the church.
Right, because see, you've been a father. Now you're a grandfather. You've got a track record to say, is Jimmy DeYoung worthy of teaching? Yes. Look at his family. Look at his boys. Look at his daughter. They're following the Lord. Look at their grandkids. You're a perfect example of someone that should be teaching because we can tell by your life and that of your family, you are a man to be respected and listened to. And these kids are loving what you're saying. They're coming up and wanting their picture with you. They are.
That is true.
And their high school college students say, I want my picture with Jimmy DeYoung. I'm not kidding. They are doing that, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And hope they don't break the camera with taking my picture.
What it tells me is it's time for the churches to quit separating kids by age groups all the time. That's okay to do at times, but we need to be where we're discipling the older to the younger as well.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to be a part of Contend 2014. And congratulations on doing something the Lord put on your heart. It's been successful, and you're being used of God to prepare these young people for the future.
Well, thank you, Dr. DeYoung.